So, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done? The weirdest thing you've ever worn? The weirdest trend you've ever seen out there in the world? Here's something I need for you to do, is to think through this idea. Things are only weird because very few people do them. If everybody starts doing them, what's weird now becomes normal. So I'd be curious, in a few minutes, I'm gonna show you some things up on the screen. We're talk about things that are used to be weird that are now normal because everybody does them. But I'd love to hear what some of your ideas are. So in the chat places where you're at, down below the screen or on the side, wherever it is for you, think about some of those things. Things that you've done, things that you've worn. Just think about middle school or high school for you. Some things you said or did or things you've done. Things that you see people do, stuff that would be weird, except that lots of people are doing it. Now look, I don't need your take on vaccines or masks or any of that kind of stuff right now. This is supposed to be fun and lighthearted right now. But what's some examples of that? And then we're gonna take a look together at some of those things that used to be weird that are now normal because enough people do them. We're in our, looking at this letter that Peter writes to people all over Asia Minor, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He could have just easily written it to the Temeculans and Myrians. And he tells them, hey, keep your focus. He says at the end of the letter, he said, I've written this little letter to you to assure you and remind you that what you're experiencing, no matter how good or bad or ugly it is truly part of God's grace. Stand firm in this grace. And then he spends the first part of his letter talking about God's fantastic grace. He said that even the angels are freaked out by God's grace. And then he says, so, talked about it last week. You can go online and get the message there. The video and the audio will be there. Is think clearly, prepare your minds for action, exercise self-control. We talked about what it meant to use our minds better, to be people that will help people. H-E-L-P, to humbly listen, to educate ourselves, to love and to persevere in all of that. And today, we come to a place where it just, the letter continues. He says, so put all your hope in the gracious salvation will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Pray with me now. Jesus, we take some time now to look at this concept, this idea of what it means to be holy. At times in my own heart, if I'm honest about this, it can be something I feel like, well, something I'm supposed to do, but it kind of has some weird associations with it. So God, just help us today as we look at this. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. God, lighten the weight and the burden that we have felt. In some cases, God, the burden that some of us have felt by this whole idea of holiness being such a heavy-handed, such a burden, such a difficult thing, impossible thing to do. I'm going to rely on you, Holy Spirit, to do that through your scripture, through the things I will say today. Just guide us now, lead us now as we dive right into this. Amen. He's going to tell us to be holy because God is holy. But the truth is, when we hear about holiness, it's one of those ideas that when you hear it, you think, okay, it's something I'm supposed to do. Something that I have to do. Christians are supposed to be holy. And in some cases, though, there's a little bit of a weird taste you get in your mouth when you hear about it, or just something you feel like, okay, if I have to, but do I really have to? Can I just be normal? Holiness just seems like this really weird idea. It's because of some associations with it over the years that don't come out of the scriptures, but come out of our pop culture, that come out of sometimes the subculture of Christian faith sometimes does some things. There's things called holy rollers. You ever known any of those kind of people? Man, if that means be holy, no, thank you. Holy rollers, pictures of Renaissance paintings where you see the person, that pious, pitiful, weak person standing here like this with a little halo over their head. You're thinking, if that's what it means to be holy, especially if you're a dude, no, thank you. I want no part of that. If that's what it means to be holy, there's some weird ideas. There's people that are committed to holiness and they're all into their stuff and they're kind of holier than thou. They think they're better than you and they won't necessarily say it, but just by their personality or by how they act, there's a bit of arrogance to it. Probably the caricature for how most people feel about holiness comes from the theologian on The Simpsons show, Ned Flanders. The Simpsons next door neighbor, if you've ever seen the show, you know everything about that. He goes, that's holiness. No thanks, I want no part of that. Those are caricatures, those are false ideas of it. I want to take some time with you today and just take you through a quick Bible study because Peter here says, for the scriptures say you must be holy because I'm holy. The scriptures he's talking about are ones we're going to look at. So before we just say, oh, holiness is a weird idea or that's unattainable or only for the super dedicated, let's take a look at what it says. Flip back to the left in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is the third book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. If you haven't downloaded our note sheet yet and have it there where you print it off or it's on a screen or something like that, do that. Or get something to write something down on. Have a pen or pencil out right now or get your thumb or finger ready to highlight some things here as we look at what this is. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, look at verse 2. It says, give the following instructions to the entire community of Israel. You must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Flip one page to the right. Chapter 20, look at verse 7 and 8. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8. So set yourselves apart. That's the thing I would underline, highlight my Bibles, because for all the weird things there are about holiness out there, the whole idea of the core idea of holiness, it just means, it comes from the word hagiazo. It just means set yourself apart. It's what you do when you're on the playground and they're choosing up teams. I'm setting ourselves apart to this team. You've been set apart for that. He says, so set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. I would write that word makes right down there. We oftentimes think holiness is something we're supposed to do, that I have to be holy, I have to obey God, but I have to keep all the rules in order to be holy. We're going to find out that's certainly part of it, but that's more the implications and the result of what's already been done to you by our God, that God has made us holy. Just go to the end of chapter 20. Look at verse 26. You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have, here it is again, set you apart from all the other people to be my very own. There's a real sense of like endeared and being endeared and like, this is awesome. This is amazing. Not like, oh gosh, we got to be holy, but like, how awesome could this be? Here's my sermon in a sentence, my message in a moment. I hope by the end of our time together today, you see holiness not as something you're supposed to do, but something you get to do. Something that's just exciting and the prospect of that adventure that God has called us to. Flip over to chapter 22 of Leviticus. Chapter 22, verse 31 to 33 says, you must faithfully keep all my commands by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord. Do not bring shame on my holy name, for I will display my holiness among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who makes you holy. It was I who rescued you from the land of Egypt that I might be your God. I am the Lord. He says, I chose you. I want you for myself. I've set you apart to myself. Now flip over to the right, past the book of Numbers, into the book of Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 says this, for you are, not you will be, And if you obey me, if you do all the right things, you'll be my holy people. He says, no, right here, right now, you are my, for you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. Now, verse 7 continues. You won't have this on the screen, maybe, but just look at it. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other nations, for you were the smallest of all the nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you. God has chosen us to be his people, not because we're the winners, not because we got our act together, not because we started obeying him, we recognized our sin and we turned around. He says, the reason you turned around is because I tapped you on the shoulder and said, come here, I want you to be part of my deal. Chapter 14, verse 2, some other verses on holiness. I'd encourage you this week to also look at the follow-up questions. There's about 5 or 6 verses there on what we call intersect to follow up with this and dive a little deeper into yourself to investigate what the Bible has to say about this idea of being set apart and being holy. 14, verse 2. You have been set apart. You've seen the theme here? Set apart is a big idea. Set apart is holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. There's a sense of God is stoked about this. I mean, you only treasure things that are valuable to you. He says, I've set you apart because I love you. You're treasured. You're important to me. Chapter 26. Chapter 26, look at verse 18. The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure, just as he promised, and that you must obey all his commands. All too often we think about holiness, all we think about is obey God, be good. And God says, look, being good is just the results. It's the ripple effect of being called out to himself. The whole idea of holiness is being set apart. That's the core idea of it. And today we're going to talk about holiness being set apart. We are set apart to God, by God, and for God. And I was taking a run this week on Thursday thinking about this, and it struck me. This is why the title of the talk is Holy Lumber, because what holiness is, it's a 2x4 relationship with God. To God, by God, and for God. 2x4. We're going to unpack that and see what this is all about today. We are set apart to God, by God, and for God. First of all, let's look at what it means to be set apart to God. See, you're not called. When God calls out to you and calls you to become a Christian, become a follower of Jesus, you're not called to a cause or even to a religion. You're not called to a club or to perform a bunch of things. He said, you're called to a relationship. He said, you're called to a person. The language the Bible consistently uses for this is the language of relationship. And at times you'll read through parts of the Bible and you go, man, dang, God, he's kind of like crazy about us. He loves us. Like, remember when you fell in love with the person you're married to now? Maybe not the person you, no, that's a different talk. That's a different thing. Or maybe when you fell in love for the first time, you felt that. He says, that's how God feels about you. And the language he uses, like he's pursuing us, and he just wants us so badly to be in this relationship with himself. And that's why he says in several places in the Old Testament, and then when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest thing we can be about and do for God? He says, here's what it is. Love God. Not obey God. Not perform for God, not give to God, not be self-disciplined and all that. He says, just love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It reads like the marriage vows. Do you promise to love and cherish, till death do you part? That's the kind of relationship that holiness is all about. We've been set apart to God, which means for us, this is where obedience comes. He says, you're set apart to me, so don't commit adultery on God. You've been called to me, he says. Don't cheat on me. 1 John, all the way to the back of your Bibles. If you've been in Peter, you just go a little bit to the right to the book, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2:15 says it this way. I'll let you guys turn there, flipping around and getting there and navigating there on your mobile device. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. And look, we just know this. If you're in a relationship with somebody, dating or married, and you cheat on them, it's like, well, you can't love that person and then cheat over here with that person. That's not right. He says, don't cheat on God. Love God with all your heart. Be set apart exclusively to God. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Those are not from the Father, but from the world. The old school Bible would say, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He says, look, you've been called to God. You've been called to a personal relationship with God. Don't cheat on him. Let your heart be totally committed to him. You've been called to him, set apart exclusively to him. You've also, though, been set apart by God. See, we think holy means just obeying the rules and just being good, not doing bad things. Being good is not the result of my actions, the result of what God has done in setting me apart to make me holy. You can see here in 1 Peter, before he tells us to be holy and get your act together, all that, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. Not will make you holy, not will get you, well, if you become holy, if you get your act together, then you can have right standing with God. And he says, no, God is the one who has made you holy. He has made you holy, not because of your own goodness. The Bible is going to tell us that before God called us to himself, we were separated from God, but far more than just separated and being bad and doing wrong things, as you were dead, Ephesians tells us. You were dead spiritually, separated from God. You weren't just trying to struggle and try to climb up the steps to get there. He said you were going the opposite direction. You were dead in your sins, but God took the action to make you holy, to set you apart to himself. And he did this by becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived the life as a perfect human being amongst us, never sinning, lived exactly how a human being is supposed to live. And then not because of his own sin, but because of his great love for you, and because he wanted to call you to himself, it was him that did it. He did not say, get on the track, start climbing up the ladder, start doing a bunch of things so you can make your way back to me. Every religion in the world says, that's how you get right with God. Just try hard, work hard, work hard. He says, you can't work hard enough. He says, what you have to do is trust that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago counts for you today. That he died in my place because he was perfect. He could die in my place for what? For my sin and my rebellion against God. He rose again to break the power of sin. And he says, all that it takes to become set apart to this great relationship with God is to trust that you are already set apart by God, that he did it all for you. And just in faith, you cry out to him and say, God, I believe that. I don't understand it maybe all exactly and perfectly yet, but I believe that you did what it took to make me right with you, to set me apart to yourself, to a relationship that was to, by, and then for. He says, this is where now we no longer live for our own desires. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, with the verses we just read, he says, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You don't live for your own desires anymore. You now have somebody else's desire, somebody else's mission that you are living for. He says, you die to yourself. You give up everything to follow me. Paul says this in the book of Galatians. Paul writes to a church in Galatia. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's other great verses in 1 Corinthians 10:31 and Colossians 3:17. Look both of those up later, but I believe 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it this way. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's the mission of my life now, is that every part of my life now, I don't have spiritual parts over here and then my regular normal life over here. He says the whole thing now is all about for the glory of God. You live for his mission, for his cause, to say, God, in my marriage, in my being a husband or a father, being a parent, being a student, in my dating relationships, in my education, my entertainment, whatever it is, God, it's all to your glory. We are going to live as Christians 2x4 kinds of lives. To God, by God, and for God. Now, the tricky part about that is what I told you earlier. Because it all sounds great here when you're on your couch today or on the back patio or watching it live with us or you're doing it on demand. It all sounds great when you talk about it in a church kind of setting. To God, by God, for God. That's right, do it. And then the question comes up. Holiness, being set apart to God. How weird do I have to be? Weird or normal? I think in fact it's on their note sheet there. Can I be normal or do I have to be weird in order to be a Christian? And the answer is, yep. It's yes. Look, you don't have to be weird to be a Christian. You just live your normal life. But again, you live every part of your life set apart to a relationship with God by what Jesus did on the cross for the glory of God. So look, all of it's. And the tricky part sometimes, Christians over the years, some of you will have flashbacks to some particular churches you were part of, well-meaning people, but at times there were things they told us to do that you just went, if I have to, I guess I will. But it was just so lame. It was just so silly. And I'm not going to share all those right now because I don't want to trigger you and set you off and have you all get diving down to that. Those were, let me just tell you, I grew up in a church like that. And I've discovered now that those weren't terrible people. They were very, very well-intentioned people who would give us some weird things you had to do or not do. And the truth is, you would do all the weird things and then miss the important things. So Jesus yells at the Pharisees all the time, just going, guys, come on, you're paying attention to all this crazy weird stuff over here. Like, great, fine, you know, have short hair or long hair or don't wear miniskirts or piercings or tattoos. But then you're missing the whole point of love and mercy. Don't miss the core things over here with these fringe kind of issues over here. So just be normal. Live your life to the glory of God. So you don't have to be weird to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But sometimes following Jesus is just gonna be weird. Let's talk about what weird for a bit. I asked you guys at the beginning of our time together today, let's see who followed through on that. You can post up your things right there of weird things that are only weird, that only weird because not enough people do them. But once enough people start doing them, then weird becomes normal. In fact, I was talking to Jess Bolette. She's our executive pastor here. And this is how they do things to set trends in the multi-million, multi-billion dollar fashion industry. What they do is they don't get enough people to do it. They just get the right people to do it. If you get a famous person to do something weird and buy into that, next thing you know what happens? Everybody's going to the store and buying that and doing it. Weird stuff that becomes normal. Post those things up there. I thought of some things. I don't know when they did it. It's a lot of it you'll see in the clothing industry, jeans. Skinny jeans on most men look ridiculous. But they convinced enough of us to wear skinny jeans, so we do it. And then the whole idea of, I remember seeing this going, oh, that person must not have enough money because their clothes are all ripped up on their jeans and stuff. And go, oh, no, they paid extra money for that. See, enough people do it, and everybody starts doing it. This is not to bust on that. They have a new trend here, and I'll be curious if it becomes fashionable. I looked up weird fashion trends. They have a new thing now. I'm not sure it will get here, but just picture, it won't be up on the screen or anything, but they're called double jeans now. Girls are doing this. They have put on two pairs of jeans. They have some jeans that come all the way up to here, and another pair of jeans that come just to the bottom, right, just to the hips right here. And they wear them like that on purpose. And you go, who would do that on purpose? Same people that said, put holes in your jeans and wear them and pay a lot of money for them. Wild hair colors are some weird things. It used to be wild hair colors were things like only like the fringe elements of people did all that. And now everybody, I shouldn't say everybody because this body ain't doing it, but just wild, weird hair colors have become so fashionable. We have all kinds of people in the hair salon industry. They go, it's crazy how that trend has become more mainstream. And then this picture might come up. We weren't quite sure if all the pictures would come up, but when did man buns become okay? When was that okay for a dude? In fact, you know what? That picture is an advertisement because the guy doesn't have long enough hair, but you can get clip-on man buns if you want to be fashionable and be cool and all that. That trend may have reached its peak and maybe gone downhill. Man buns. For those of you that grew up like me in the late 70s, leisure suits. Leisure suits. And everybody says that like trends are going to come back again. This one has not come back yet again. I think it will be that you think COVID is the sign of the apocalypse. If leisure suits come back again, that's the sign that it's the seventh plague of the fourth seal of the book of Revelation. The apocalypse is imminent. If leisure suits ever come back again. Pineapple on pizza. And save all your nasty notes for those of you that love that. You're just weird. But somebody at some point decided that pineapple on pizza was a good idea. And then they started selling it and making money on it. Dogs in strollers. And for those of you that are dog people, and are going to write me your notes about, well, my dog is blind or my dog can't walk anymore. Okay, I get that. But there's a lot of freaky, weird people out there. You can look at all the advertising out there and the pictures. You can buy a stroller to take your dog on a walk. Man rompers. And you see the picture up here. The picture, but they get a very good-looking dude, kind of cut, kind of muscly, kind of like tattoos and stuff. Again, this is, you get the right person doing it. And there's some of you fool men out there that are going to get that thing. I hope not. But it's, again, this is the thing. It's become sort of cultural and positive, and enough people do it. And what we used to be like, who would ever put that on purpose, is now being advertised for sale for $87 on Amazon Prime. You can have one. It'll be to your house in 2 days. That's a weird thing too, right? What's weird in some ways is kind of cool because it used to be it took you a week or two to get stuff. Shoot, you could probably order something now and be at your house by the time the service gets over, if you wanted it to. And my last one of just weird things that have become normal. Milk products. Soy milk, because beans make milk. Almonds make milk. And then the crazy one right now is hemp milk. How do you get milk out of a rope? And all that. What's going to be weird at some point, we're going to go back to like, have you heard about this new milk? It's called cow milk. Those of you listen to Jim Gaffigan right there, full credit to him. I ripped all that little part off from him. But again, weird things become normal when enough people do it. And the reason why Christianity is so difficult at times, and this call to follow Jesus and be set apart to God, by God, and for God, 2x4, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, 13, and 14, I'm not going to read it today, just tell you, it talks about there's two roads. There's a wide road and a lot of people on it, and that road leads to destruction. And it's not just talking about hell someday in the afterlife, but destruction this life. He says there's a narrow road that leads to life, and only a few people ever find it. He says, look, it's weird. Christianity will be weird because the majority of people won't want to get off where the majority of the people are and get on where just a few people are. He says, look, I just know this week, this occurred to me at some moment, brainstorming this with our team. You will be set apart to someone or something. You will be. Our prayer, hope for you is you would be set apart to God, by God, and for God. But someone or something you're going to be set apart to. He says, put all your hope in Jesus Christ. The truth is, we are all setting ourselves apart to someone or something. In fact, in the middle of stress and difficulty right now, you can often tell what somebody's heart is set apart to, but what we do for relief when we're under stress, pressure, and difficulty. We think it'll be, I got to keep myself healthy, or it'll be money, it'll be substances of some kind. It will be, we have to make sure that he or she does or doesn't get elected, and all of our hope can go there. You'll see this all over social media, is an indicator of who or what we are set apart to. And the truth is, Jesus is going to tell us that you can stay on the wide road and be accepted, and everybody, nobody thinks you're weird. He says the tricky part with that, that place leads to destruction. It leads to a place where, see, it doesn't give you life, it takes life. And it's a little bit like this. It's a little bit like fish swimming around in the ocean. You know how fishermen catch fish? It's because they present the bait and they bury the hook. That's how we get sucked into sin and staying on the wide road. Is people will warn you, hey, watch out about anger. Watch out about materialism and greed. Watch out about sexual sin. Watch out. All these things the Bible tells, watch out for. Be set apart to God. And it feels like, oh, so restrictive. And so, oh, I don't like that stuff. He says, that's because if you're not careful, you're like the fish, you're just on the bait. And you're going, those Christians are stupid. Nothing wrong with this. And next thing you know, you turn up and go, how did I get on the deck of a boat? How am I being filleted for somebody's meal right now? You know why? Because you nibbled at the bait and it was so good. You thought Christians and Jesus and the Bible was stupid and restrictive. And then the hook got in there and just drug the life out of you. Been watching some of the Jason Bourne movies recently because they've been on everywhere. And several times in those movies, these elite agents who were never forced into doing this, they took it on because of the power and the prestige and the benefit it was going to be. Every one of them at some point, they look at the camera or they look at somebody and go, God, look what they make you give. They promise all this life and they just suck the life out of you and look what they make you give. That's what sin does. It promises life and just hooks you in. But sometimes it's not even just you do bad stuff and your life ends up, because a lot of you that are not yet Christians, maybe tuning into this right now, but go, well, I'm not following Jesus. My life is actually okay. It's pretty good. Here's the problem, though, is that the wide road that leads to destruction promises freedom and joy, but you have to keep chasing it. It never quite gets there. Moments, you'll have moments where it's, oh, this is awesome, beautiful, and then I got to keep chasing it. Solomon talked about that. He said it's like chasing the wind, trying to find happiness and joy apart from God. And then the great modern-day prophet Jim Carrey, look this up. He said this a couple of years ago. He said this, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of so they will know that it's not the answer. And this is a guy who has achieved everything. He says, look, that wide pathway that promises life, even if you don't implode your life and jack up your life and end up a mess, it's just, it's not life. That's why Jesus says, and over in Matthew, flip back there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 11. It's a call to be set apart to God. Again, my hope and prayer today is that holiness stops being something that's a burden and something you have to do if you're a Christian, but it becomes this compelling privilege. Look what Jesus says, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And for years and years, I would hear that, read that. I would have people talk about it. And again, what we hear when we hear this sometimes is all about Christianity has a yoke and a burden to bear. The wide road, it's freedom, no restrictions, just do what you want. What Jesus is telling us here, he says, look, everyone, everything you put all your hopes and dreams in, everything you are set apart to has standards and expectations, and they have a yoke and a burden to bear, and they suck the life out of you, or they just, you never quite get They always promise more than they ever deliver. He said, look, I've got life for you. He said, I've got a yoke and a burden. Everything does. He says, but my yoke and burden leads to life. It's a privilege. And maybe what we need to do here is not focus on yoke and burden, but he's saying is, look, my yoke is easy and my burden is light compared to everything else that's out there you can give your life to. We have been called to be 2x4 people, to live a life that's set apart to God in relationship, by God because of the cross, and for God, for his glory. I want to encourage you today to take some holy lumber to your life. Take a 2x4 to your life. If you're not a Christian yet, today's the day. You've been called to follow Jesus today, to become a Christian right here, right now, today, to go, I don't know what this is, but I've got yokes and burdens and stress and difficulty. I'm just tired of it. I'm done with it. Jesus says, yeah, come to me. I've got rest for your soul. If you're heavy laden and you're just burdened and you're frustrated, some of you have your past that you've been trying to outrun and just try to be good. He says, no, stop that. Come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. Take a 2x4 to your life. If you want to become a Christian today or talk to somebody about what it means to follow Jesus and be a Christian, on the little chat room, chat bar areas there, let us know by that. You can also text to us, 951-599-8611. You can also, there's a little button that might come up on the various screens where you're watching. Click on that and let us know about that. We'd love to talk to you about what it means to just join Jesus on this journey of living all a life that's all about to God, by God, and for God. Christians, let me chat with you for a bit. Those of you who have come to that place in your life, I was convicted in a good way, in a life-affirming good way, not in a guilt and shame way this week, about this idea of being holy, about being set apart to God, by God, and for God. And so this may not be for all of you, but this is for a few of you out there. Some of us need to take a 2x4 to our lives. We need to crush and break some things. A guy that said it a couple centuries ago, he said, you need to be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And sometimes we get so passive about sin and we want to just, you know, we're on the narrow road, but can we just kind of dabble over here and kind of walk both roads? He says, no, take a 2x4 to your life. Live that all out commitment to Jesus Christ. And look, holiness is not this pietistic, weak-minded, silly little lame, sissy kind of thing. It's a robust call. Maybe you want to write this down. You know what holiness is? Holiness is rebellion against sin. It's rebellion. It's going to go, I'm in church, I got to be careful. literally to hell with sin. I'm going to rebel against it. I'm not going to sit back and just kind of try to walk both roads and just kind of meander life. No, this is a locker room, battle room, battlefield kind of thing. Call to arms. You go, look, I'm going to take a 2x4 to my life, to the glory of God, for God, by God, all of it. That's what God wants for every single one of you today, to join him on that journey. And you'll discover as you do that, it's the way to live life and life to the full. Our band's going to come up right now. And we're going to give you a chance to sing. We're going to give you a chance right now to also fill out, if you haven't done that yet, you can click on the links online that are there. There's a little place where you can click on there. Scan the code in there too on your smartphone. Let us know you were here. Let us know how we can be praying for you. You might be in a place where you've recognized it's time to take a 2x4 to my life and become a Christian. There's a place on that card to tell us about that right here, right now, today. Some of you that are followers of Jesus right now maybe have been convicted about, you know what? I've been dancing and messing around with sin. And it's time to take that commitment of holiness, of being set apart to God, by God, and for God, to live an invigorating, exciting 2x4 kind of life. Jesus, we come to you now. And we're going to sing to you. worship you, God. Invigorate our hearts. God, move this conviction, this message of holiness, to see it, change our perspective on it, change our hearts, God, from not an obligation or a duty, but a privilege and an adventure. We love you now. God, we're going to sing to you. We have our hearts be moved as we worship you right here, right now.